Thanks for the introduction. As mentioned by Dr. Williams, that the title is Biodegradation of Biosolids Bond Triclosan, also called TCS. First of all, I would like to thank my co-authors, Dr. George O'Connor and Dr. Gurpal Thur, and the funding agency, Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. TCS, most of you have already attended talks about TCS, so most of you know already what TCS is, but it's an antimicrobial compound and it is an active ingredient in liquid soaps, detergents, and personal care products. And when we use these personal care products, TCS goes down the drain and enters wastewater treatment plants. When wastewater is treated in these plants, the solid product of wastewater treatment plants is biosolids, which is frequently land applied. Land application of biosolids act as a source of transfer of TCS from biosolids into the soils. So this part of the life cycle of TCS has been very well studied, but what is not known is what happens to TCS once it enters the soil systems. Will it remain persistent in the soil or will it degrade into the soils? If it remains persistent, will it enter our food crops? Will it have any effect on soil microorganisms like earthworms? Or will it affect the soil microbial communities? And finally, will it leach down the profile and reach our groundwaters? And after all that information is collected, the final objective is to look at the risk of TCS to human population. So the title of my presentation is, I will be talking about the degradation part. So I'll be looking if the TCS remains persistent or there's formation of any metabolites. So what we hypothesized today is that TCS will degrade in the soils, in the biosolids amended systems, and there will be formation of some metabolites. So to achieve our objectives, we did an incubation study, and we used C14 TCS, radio-labeled TCS. So the design is represented here in this figure, and we used a traditional incubation system, and we followed EPA guidelines to model our system. So this is the biodegradation setup here, and this is a blow up of the setup. So basically what we did was we spiked the biosolids with C14 TCS, and then we amended the biosolids into two soils. The two soils we used in our study was a sand and a silty clay loam. And we amended the biosolids at agronomic application rates. And the samples were incubated under aerobic conditions. So you can see the pump right here. So we were providing air through the system so that the conditions remain aerobic during the study period. In addition to the incubation and collecting the soil samples, we were also collecting C14 CO2 in the base traps. And these base traps contain potassium hydroxide, so when the CO2 will come over, it will be trapped in these base traps. So during the incubation experiment, we temporarily took a soil sample and we extracted them with this sequential extraction scheme. The scheme consists of extracting with water, methanol, sodium hydroxide, and there was a final combustion step, which represents the non-extractable or the bound fraction of TCS. In addition to the initial extraction scheme, we also extracted the subsample before the extraction step with a mixture of methanol and acetone. The reason for doing that was that we were trying to figure out the speciation for the combustible fraction. So we extracted the combustible fraction with the strong extractant just to see how much comes out of the truly bound fraction. In addition, we did the rad TLC analyses, radio thin layer chromatography, and this was utilized to speciate the total C14 in the system. So we were able to see, is the TCS occurring in the system as a parent compound, or is there any formation of metabolite? Finally, we did a mass balance, so we were able to follow up where the C14 TCS is going. This is the data for the mass balance, and I'm representing the data for silty clay loam soil over here. So on the y-axis, you can see the percent C14 recoveries, and on the x-axis, you can see the various extracts we used during the sequential extraction scheme. The various colors here represent samples taken in at various times. And I would just like to mention that the total recoveries of C14 in our system range from 90% to 95%. So just to make things easier to follow, we normalize this data to the total C14 detected in each system. So as you can clearly see here that the C14 mineralizing to C14 CO2 was minimal. It was less than 1%, which means that there's minimal mineralization in the system. The other important thing to note here is that most of the TCS was detected either in the methanol fraction or in the methanol acetone fraction. In addition, with time, there was decrease in extractability in the methanol fraction, and there was increase in the extractability in the methanol acetone fraction. Similar to that, this is the data for the fine sand. Again, the different colors represent samples taken at various times. And we have y-axis and x-axis similar to the previous graph. So here also, when we're talking about mineralization, we are looking at C14 CO2. This was minimal in the system. It was less than 1% during the time period of our study. In addition, most of the TCS, most of the recoveries were there in the either in the methanol fraction or in the methanol acetone fraction. And again, with time, the extractability decreased in the methanol fraction and extractability increased in the methanol acetone fraction. And based on this information, we were able to use the methanol extracts and the methanol acetone extract to do a rad TLC analysis. So the reason for using only these two extracts was that most of the C14 was in these two extracts. In addition, we made an assumption that the speciation which we found in the methanol extract is similar to what we find in water and sodium hydroxide. Similarly, we assume that speciation in the combustible fraction is similar to what we will find in the methanol acetone fraction. So these are the data for the rad TLC analyses. So basically what we saw that during the first 3 weeks of the extraction, the only compound which we can detect in the system was TCS. So there was no metabolites, there was just parent compound in the system. However, represented by this structure. However, at week 4, there was formation of additional peak in the system, and this peak was identified to be methyl TCS, represented by this structure. So if you can compare these two structures, what we are looking at is we are getting rid of the hydrogen group from the hydroxyl group here, and we are getting a methyl group. When we are getting rid of hydrogen group, we are getting a methyl group instead. So that made us believe that this would be a methylation reaction because hydrogen is going away and methyl group is coming over. And again, we believe that it is a biomethylation reaction. And the reason for that was we did a similar kind of study in inhibited biotic conditions. So we inhibited the growth of bacteria and we did not allow the bacteria to grow. So in that case, we did not find any methyl TCS. So that made us believe that, yes, in fact, it is a biomethylation reaction. And we do have some evidence in literature that methyl TCS is formed in biosolids and it is biotically mediated. Based on the information we gathered from the rad TLC analyses, we were able to get disappearance curves. So on the primary y-axis, you see the proportion of C14 detected as TCS. And on the secondary y-axis, you see the proportion of C14 detected as methyl TCS. And first of all, I'll be talking about the silty clay loam soil. And the x-axis is time in weeks. So as you can see here, the black boxes represent the concentrations of TCS, and the white circles represent methyl TCS concentrations. So with time, TCS concentrations decreased and methyl TCS concentrations increased. And we tried to fit a trend line on these curves. So what we found that these trend lines were following a zero order kinetics, and the R squares were 0.95 to 0.96. So that made us believe that, okay, that maybe that is a zero-order kinetics. However, when people talk about half-lives in literature, they usually talk about first-order kinetics. So if we believe our information and if we believe that, in fact, this is a zero-order kinetics, we were able to calculate TCS disappearance rate. So the disappearance rates were calculated by drawing a line from where the concentrations of TCS are 50% and there are 50% methyl TCS concentrations. So based on these lines, the TCS disappearance rates were 77 days in case of silty clay loam soil. Similarly, for the fine sand, the data look pretty different. The primary and secondary y-axis are the same, and we have the same x-axis. And we again tried to fit a zero-order kinetics, but interestingly, there was no point during our study where we found that 50% of TCS has disappeared or there's formation of 50% of methyl TCS. So we were not able to estimate the actual 50% disappearance rates, but we still believe that it will be greater than 18 weeks or greater than 126 days. So what did we learn from our study today? We did learn that complete degradation, which is the mineralization, it is very slow in our system, and it will take about years or perhaps decades for TCS to mineralize. In addition, methyl TCS was a major metabolite in biosolids amended systems, and we believe that it is a biomethylation reaction. In addition, the time taken for 50% of TCS to disappear in our systems range from 77 to greater than 126 days. I would also like to mention that there was a big difference between these two soils, and we believe that the difference could be due to difference in microbial populations. Because there's information in literature where people are have mentioned that if we have a finer textured soil, we have greater microbial populations. So we believe that greater organic carbon content in the silty clay loam corresponded to greater microbial populations, and that could be one of the reasons that disappearance rates were faster in the silty clay loam. In addition, we did compare our disappearance values with what people have found in the literature. Although people are using first-order half-lives, but even if we are using zero-order kinetics, at least for the sand, for the silty clay loam soil, the disappearance rates were pretty consistent. So from all the information, there are new questions arising from whenever you collect some data, there are new questions arising. So the new question would be, okay, the methyl TCS is formed in the system. So what will happen to methyl TCS once it is formed? Will it persist in the soils? Will it further degrade to other metabolites? Or will it mineralize to CO2? So that's one of the questions we would try to address in future. So thank you all for your attention, and I'll be happy to take questions if we have time. Thank you. Yes.
You mentioned that the microbial population in one soil would be different from the other soil, and therefore you see different time degrading period. Have you tried to autoclave or sterilize one soil and just inoculate that with the other soil in order to know whether it's same population will result the same type of results?
That's a good point. We actually did not autoclave it, but we did use another measure. We were measuring total CO2 in our systems. So we compared the inhibited biotic conditions, as I mentioned earlier, with the biotic conditions. And the total CO2 rates were very high in the biotic conditions, which represents presence of active microbial populations as compared to the inhibited treatments. And the other point which I was making was that there will be difference between the two soils also, because there are different organic carbon contents, and that could be the reason for difference in microbial numbers. Yes?
I thought the increase of perhaps covalently bound residue, the unextractable with your strong extraction, should it be considered a significant outcome in the experiment as well?
Yes, I acknowledge that. As I mentioned earlier, that the one of the assumptions we were making in our study was that the speciation in the methanol acetone fraction is similar to what was unextractable. So you are right that maybe the speciation is different in that combustible fraction or the non-extractable fraction. So that is kind of a black box. I mean, the stuff we cannot extract, we can only predict the speciation in that fraction, but we cannot be 100% sure. Maybe it's just the parent, but we believe that one other evidence which could support this behavior is that the methyl TCS is in fact more hydrophobic than TCS. So I would believe that it will result in the combustible or the non-extractable fraction more than TCS.
A lot of other compounds that have that actually form a demonstrable covalent bond to the organic matter.
Sure.
I don't see any reason why, with your strong extraction, you should assume anything except a covalent bound residue. And therefore, you don't know what its composition is at all.
So you're saying that the stuff which was non-extractable, we cannot predict the...
Yes. Or just some covalent bond, not
sure.
Just a hydrophobic bond.
Sure. I acknowledge that we cannot be 100% sure about the speciation. That's a good point. Thank you.